This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. This year, Ohioans will see a new way of drawing congressional districts in the state. Every 10 years, Ohio draws new district maps, and the process has historically been a partisan affair, where districts are drawn to favor one party over another. But in 2015 and 2018, voters approved a new process meant to prevent gerrymandering. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss Ohio's redistricting process are Common Cause Ohio Executive Director Catherine Tercer. Catherine, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
And if you're listening and would like to join our conversation, or perhaps you have a perspective or question you'd like answered about redistricting in Ohio, you can join us, 513-419-7100, or email your thoughts to talk@wvxu.org. Catherine, let's start with you. What is new about this process this year?
So we are going into this map-making year with some really good rules in place. So rules that keep communities together. Which when you think about gerrymandering, which is the manipulation of those district lines, it is so important to actually have rules that keep the communities together. There's a focus on bipartisan map making. And then there's also, when we think about the need for transparency, when we look back at 2011, the maps were created in a hotel room and public records reveal that they called their hotel room the bunker, but it was far out of the public's sight. And so this year we're going to have a much more transparent system so that we're all able to put pressure on the map makers to create much fairer maps that represent the community and makes it so that elected officials are much more accountable to the voters rather than to the political parties.
What was unfair, do you think, Catherine, about the way the congressional map in particular was drawn in Ohio?
So I think we need to do is think about, go way up north and think there's a district that goes, from Toledo to Cleveland. If you think about where you are right now, Hamilton County, you have a district, District 1, that essentially splits Hamilton County. They call that cracking, where you essentially pick up pieces of the more Democratic Hamilton County, and then you put all this area that is more rural and more Republican so that you end up with a Republican district. And what's really unfair, it doesn't matter where you live in Ohio, is that the map makers created a map that essentially favored Republicans in such a way that there are 12 Republican districts and 4 Democratic districts. And it doesn't matter whether it's an Obama year or a Trump year. For the past decade, we've had 12 Republicans that we sent to D.C., and we've had 4 Democrats. And that's just unfair. When the map makers have more to say about who actually goes to Washington than the voters, we have a problem.
You're referencing local districts, including Ohio District 1, represented by Republican Steve Shabbat, that has most of Hamilton County in it. And then a big chunk of the eastern part of the county is carved out, and instead all of Warren County is attached to that part of Hamilton County. And then in Ohio District 2, represented by Republican Brad Winstrup, you have that piece of eastern Hamilton County that was carved out, and it's attached to the rural eastern counties like Claremont and Eastern. So let's bring in Jen Miller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio. And Jen, what do you see as big areas of concerns or optimism that you have moving into this year?
So I am very optimistic, and I'm really proud of the work that all of us did together. The reforms, these new rules that Catherine is talking about, are rules that were demanded by the people. And so in 2015, there was a ballot initiative, and many of your listeners signed that petition or carried that petition around or then voted yes on that issue in 2015 to improve the way we make state-level maps. And then in 2018, we did it again to improve the way we do the congressional maps. Both of these ballot initiatives passed in all 88 counties by more than 70% of the vote in both cases. And so I have hope because I think the people of Ohio generally understand that the way that we've been making legislative maps is unfair. They generally understand and care about fairness. And so I have hope that we have these rules in place, but I also really need, and we need, all Ohioans to now engage. Catherine and I we are pretty awesome, but we can't do this alone. We really need Ohio voters to be making sure that they are leaning in and calling, you know, Governor DeWine and Secretary LaRose and their lawmakers in asking for fair maps and a transparent process.
So, Jen, help us understand what exactly is happening now. We saw some details of the U.S. Census report that came out a couple of weeks ago. We know that Ohio will be losing a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, so that's going to impact the way lawmakers and map makers approach this situation. What's the timeline look like? What happens and when does it happen?
Yeah, so this is a good question. We have a new timeline with the census. And so typically we would have detailed data, population data from the census by now. And then we would be putting that into a format to make it mappable. We don't have that. We do know that we are losing one congressional seat. So instead of sending 16 lawmakers to Congress, Ohio will send 15. And so that's one thing. As we're doing map making, we're going to have to think through that. There's a lot of things that we could be starting on now. We could be talking about all these new requirements through hearings. We could be allowing, Ohio could be allowing the general public to talk about what they would like their districts to look like. We could really be digging into the technical details as we wait for that more detailed census data. But the one thing I wanted to mention is that it might instinctively feel like we'll have less power in Congress because we're losing a seat. But I actually want to challenge us to look at this a little bit differently. If we actually have maps that are truly fair, that, you know, this last decade, the map makers actually sent emails saying that they wanted a 12-4 map, 12 Republicans, 4 Democrats. And as Catherine mentioned, that happened perfectly. We know Ohio is slightly more Republican than Democrat, but it's not 75-25, which is what our congressional map is. If we have congressional districts drawn in a way that are more fair and where the people of Ohio really get to pick their congressmen and women rather than have it be a predetermined outcome, I think Ohio voters will have a lot more power in Congress. What happens right now is for the last decade, a lawmaker in Congress has known that they were going to win their seat again, just guaranteed. And so they didn't have to actually listen to voters because there was no way to really have voters hold them accountable. They weren't going to lose their seat. So they could listen to the extremes in their party. They could listen to their big donors. They didn't have to listen to us. If we can get to 15 districts that more mirror how Ohio is, which we're kind of a moderate state, right? We're a little bit swingable. We'll have some districts that remain solidly Republican just because of where they are. We'll probably have some that remain solidly Democrat because where they are. We'll have a whole bunch of them that potentially swing back and forth. Probably it would be about a 50-50 delegation, maybe with a slight Republican lean. Then I think our representation really improves because every congressperson has to work for the voters and not for party extremes.
We're talking with Jen Miller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio. And we're also joined by Catherine Turser, the executive director of Common Cause Ohio. Catherine, talk a little bit about what fair districts mean. I know you talked about earlier keeping communities together. Somewhere along the lines, though, of course, there's going to be a border, right? There's going to be a cutoff to where these things go, just as there are any state border. There are communities that are close to one another, but they have to report to other powers that be. So what are some of the elements that map makers need to be considering in order for this process to appear fair to people like you?
So I always think when we say fair, it's really easy to be like, well, that could just mean just about anything. But what we do know is the voters approved fairness by saying, hey, let's keep political subdivisions together as much as possible. Now, what does that mean? So for congressional, that means, you know, if you have 15 districts, that means let's keep those counties whole as much as possible. And of course, things are going to have to be divided because the districts will need to be fairly equal in population. A lot of people will be really familiar with one person, one vote. Basically, what that means is those districts should be fairly equal in size. That's another aspect of fairness. I do believe the notion of the transparency. We don't just want to have an open process to have an open process. We want an open process so that people are able to go and testify and be really clear about what it is that they see as their community and have an opportunity to weigh in on proposed maps and before the maps to provide information to the map makers so that they can make choices so those districts reflect the community.
Jen, as this process gets underway, I understand Senate President Matt Huffman, a Republican from Lima in the state legislature, had proposed that Ohio voters should consider a constitutional amendment in August that would have extended this deadline to draw new state legislative districts because they are waiting on more of that detailed data from the U.S. Census Bureau. You said that this work should begin right now. What's the discrepancy there between you, for example, and the Senate president?
So we agree that the new census timeline, where we're not going to get all of the population data we need until August or September, is far from ideal when it comes to actually making the maps. And we might not make all of our deadlines in the Constitution. So I want to pick this apart a couple ways. One is, we think the Constitution is sacred, and this was going to be a situation where a ballot initiative, a bill to place this on the ballot, was going to pass in a week without thorough vetting, without the ability for the public to really participate, without really knowing if there were unintended consequences that would get cemented into our Constitution. So we definitely disagreed with that. We agree that there are some challenges with the new census timeline, but there's all kinds of things that the state of Ohio could be doing right now. So, for example, President Huffman has the ability to place one individual on the Ohio Redistricting Commission. For the Ohio Redistricting Commission, there are four legislative appointees, and two Republicans, two Democrats. They should be naming those folks now. We should start having hearings at the Ohio Redistricting Commission and in the Ohio General Assembly about those things, like how to comply with the equal population requirement or the Voting Rights Act at the federal level, what these new rules are at the state level. These are all things that don't actually take the population data, but are things that we all need to be discussing through public hearings in an open, transparent way so that experts in map making or in law, the general public, nonpartisan groups like ourselves can all be discussing how to make these maps together. There's no reason to wait for those pieces. And if we have those technical conversations now, we can be more effective in creating fair maps once we finally get that data.
Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost has filed a lawsuit in federal court seeking to force the U.S. Census Bureau to release that data sooner. He said on Twitter just this week that the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals has scheduled oral arguments in that case challenging the Census Bureau's late data delivery for 2:00 next Wednesday. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. We're going to pick up this conversation with Jen Miller of the League of Women Voters of Ohio, as well as Catherine Turser from Common Cause Ohio, just ahead. A little later on, a new book tells the story of German immigrants and their impact on Cincinnati prior to World War I. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue to talk about the redistricting process in Ohio. We're joined today by Common Cause Ohio Executive Director Catherine Turser and League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller. You can join us as well by calling 513-419-7100 or email your questions or thoughts and comments to talk@wvxu.org. Catherine, I read a report from the American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio that warns, or I should say cautions, we can still get a gerrymandered map in this state. And I'm looking at a report issued by your organization, Common Cause Ohio, that really spells out how this whole process works. And so if we were to run through the four steps, we see that first, the legislature has to adopt the 10-year congressional redistricting plan, for example, with 60% of members in each chamber in favor, including 50% support from members of both parties. Then if that fails, that's when this new 7-member commission would be tasked with adopting a 10-year map. But they need 2 votes from each party, at least. If they fail to agree, it goes back to the state house where they get a second shot at this thing. And then there's a lesser requirement. You only need 1/3 of the members from the 2 major parties supporting the proposal. If that fails, it does seem to go back to a basic majority in the state legislature, Catherine. So how serious are the concerns that Ohio could still end up with a gerrymandered map?
So one of the things that we need to be really clear about is there's never going to be a perfect map. So we should start with that. The other thing that we should look at is that the rules that are in the Ohio Constitution address the worst aspects of gerrymandering by creating rules that keep communities together, by creating greater transparency, and by doing the best that they can to actually get to bipartisan map making. I actually call the congressional redistricting deadlines and their challenges as a gauntlet. And the way to understand it best is it is really challenging to get anything that is truly bipartisan. And so when legislators were working on coming up with, the rules for the bipartisan map making, they're like, what if we can't actually get bipartisan map making? Let's put in some steps so that we can try to do it. But if we can't do it for some reason, then we get to a stage where there are 4-year maps. They can be created by a majority of the legislature and wouldn't have to include both political parties. But there's some really strong rules. And so people should be aware that as opposed to saying, oh, we need to, as much as possible, keep counties together, all of a sudden it focuses on we have to keep counties together, we have to keep cities together, we have to keep townships together. And so if you think about gerrymandering is the manipulation of district lines to manipulate the elections. If you're creating tougher and tougher rules focused on keeping communities together, it becomes a lot more difficult to do a gerrymandered map. The other thing that I think is really interesting in the rules when you get to that 4-year map is there's a real focus on not favoring or disfavoring incumbents. And I think that's also very important. If you have the map makers in charge of one political party saying you can't favor or disfavor the incumbents, the rule is it becomes a little bit tougher there. Not just you can't gerrymander, but you can't favor incumbents. Finally, they have to put absolutely everything in writing. And if you have to put in writing why you split a community here, or you made a change there, it becomes much easier for all of us to investigate, probe, and at the end of the day, litigate. And so, yes, we would much prefer bipartisan map making, but at the end of the day, a 4-year map doesn't mean it's the wild, wild west of map making. There are very tough rules. So it will not be the kind of gerrymandering that we've seen where you have that district that I mentioned earlier that goes from Toledo to Cleveland and the kind of crazy duck district that's Jim Jordan's district. And you can think of all sorts of districts across the, Ohio that are just completely manipulated. We will not have that because even though there are all of these different stages, we will actually have rules that will make us have a much more compact districts and districts that will focus on our communities.
Let's take some phone calls and emails now. We'll go to the phone lines where we find Linda. Hi, Linda. What's your question or comment?
Hi, I'm Linda. Thanks for taking my call, and I really am interested in this topic. One of the things I wanted to point out is my daughter is a student at Ohio State, which is cut up and reapportioned in ways to make sure that that group of citizens can't vote together. It seems to me if we don't have time to redistrict the whole state, the easiest solution would be to get rid of Jim Jordan's ridiculous district by taking that out and reapportioning those areas into their natural borders. We could simply be right there with, one less representative and ready to go, and then use the time to make things better all over the state in the future.
Linda, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. It sounds like Catherine, Linda shares your characterization. I guess it's a relatively common characterization of the shape of Republican Congressman Jim Jordan's district. It's the 4th congressional district. It's called the Duck District or the Rubber Duck District because it is shaped a bit like a duck if you look at it. So it kind of goes from Cleveland suburbs to Mercer County down to the Indiana border. So this is certainly something that the public recognizes as curious. We'll look at some emails now from some of our listeners today. Steve emails, is there any reason that the redistricting for congressional districts can't follow existing geopolitical demarcation and districts in counties? Sometimes the hardest answers are the simplest. Jen, would you be able to help Steve understand from his question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. Bottom line is that probably the districts right now are 711,000 in terms of population. They'll be a little larger than that next time. And so the bottom line is if an entire county is less than that, the size of a congressional district, we should do our best to keep that county whole. Or if we think about the situation with Cleveland and Toledo that we keep talking about, each of those cities is smaller than a congressional district. And therefore, there's no reason to put pieces of each of them for a district that is like 100 miles long or something. There's no reason for that. And so you're exactly right. And that's why we have some pretty complicated rules that limit the numbers of counties that can be split with that idea of, the reason why we have these really goofy looking districts is so because they could split as much as they wanted. And there are situations like Xavier's basketball court is in a different district than the parking lot for Xavier's basketball court. You know, so things like this are ridiculous. And yes, respecting those jurisdictional lines make a lot of sense. One last thing I'll just mention is representation is better when our districts are more compact. Clearly, if you think about Cleveland, all of Cleveland has more in common than a piece of Cleveland and a piece of Toledo and all the rural areas in between. It's hard for a lawmaker to really represent the constituents well when we have so many different economies and infrastructures as well.
Kathleen emails, what is the best way for citizens to be involved in this process, especially those of us who live in districts with representatives who don't seem to acknowledge that current districts are unfair? I've got about 10 seconds for you to tell us, Catherine.
Well, I would encourage everyone to just pay attention to what is happening at the State House. And if you are worried about making sure they're fair maps, send a letter, send an email, make a phone call. Engaging today will make us have good maps.
Catherine.
And just find us online, Fair Districts Ohio. We are the nonpartisan experts, and we will help you get engaged.
Catherine Turser is with Common Cause Ohio. Jen Miller with the League of Women Voters of Ohio. Thanks to both of you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.